Greetings and welcome to St. Dominic's Weekly. This is Father Michael. On Quarantine Chronicles this week, Father Isaiah and I celebrate Father's Day, and we do it by examining perhaps one of the most underappreciated and overlooked themes in the Bible, that is the Father's blessing, the power of the Father's blessing. And so in the episode, we break down one thing that most dads don't know they can do, or at least don't fully understand or take advantage of the graces they have to be a blessing. And so whether you're on the go or taking it slow, many, many blessings as you enjoy today's Father's Day show.
Greetings and welcome back to St. Dominic's Weekly. This is Father Isaiah. That's Father Michael.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day. What a great Sunday we just had.
Indeed. And the way in which we celebrate dads in this culture in terms of giving thanks for all that they do and remarking on that wonderful effect they have on our culture resonates even in our faith. Mm-hmm. There's a way in which a couple weeks ago, we were talking about the Trinity, right? And Father, Son, and Spirit. And the idea that God is Father. And in fact, when the apostles asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. And what does he do? He says, well, call God
our Father, right?
Yeah, in Hebrew, Abba, which I guess can be translated almost as daddy.
Right.
So he had this really affectionate familial term for God. And in fact, Christ says in the gospel, and sometimes this is taken as a rebuke to those who would call like priest father, and say, call no one father except your heavenly father. It's the source of all origin. Mm-hmm. Of course, we call our own biological fathers dad. Spiritual fathers as well. But there's this way in which Christ is highlighting the sense that all fatherhood, all paternity comes from God as a source and creator of all. And so to think today, I thought it might be interesting to look at this kind of unusual and surprising idea of the blessing that fathers have for their children.
Sounds great.
Yeah. I mean,
and we forget that, you know, we talk about like the office of bishop or the office of priest or such. But I mean, to talk about the office of fatherhood, that there's a kind of a vocation about fatherhood that comes, and there are particular blessings that come with it.
Absolutely. And there's a way in which you might even distinguish, understanding rightly, between biologically being able to be a father or to be a dad, and the actual responsibility, and as you say, the office, which comes through the fact that biologically there's a connection, but the office of communicating God's blessings from our heavenly Father through to their own children. I mean, a way to put this is no mom or dad ever chooses the kind of children they have, right? With all this, with the science nowadays, there's all kinds of ethical questions about the CRISPR technology of editing genome and things like that. But biologically, in a sense, you pass on what you have, your biological material, your DNA is passed along. You don't really have a choice in that, in terms of that. And so there's a way in which fatherhood as an office is a continuation or extension of God's blessing, especially in family life. And one way to get at that is to maybe look at the scripture in the very first book of the Bible, where it all began.
Genesis.
And in Genesis, there's these kind of obscure and frankly puzzling stories about blessing.
They are weird.
but I want to look at them as a way of a kind of understanding how powerful God's blessing is when done through the office or the instrumentality of a father. I think as Catholics, we understand that when the priests say certain words and do certain actions, there's God's blessing, right? And so we do all sorts of blessings for everything from blessing, you know, religious articles and items, blessing holy water, even blessing things like vehicles and, and computers. I had someone ask me to bless their new smartphone.
Why not? As
Catholics, you can bless anything. But we don't often think of, besides priesthood, there are other God-given agencies or persons or officium, offices, through which God particularly blesses. And in a special way, fatherhood is a way that God engages his own blessing as our Heavenly Father to bless families through their dad.
Yeah, and that's great because I have limited contemplations about that, about the actual office of, I mean, not necessarily the office of fatherhood, but actually like what those blessings can be, right? Because at least in my own family, it was something that my father was a very devout man. But mm-hmm. to say that my father like was at the door every single day before I went to school, that just wasn't the life of my family.
Yeah, so. Sure. And I think, I mean, every family is going to be a little different, right. as you say. Right. But there's a way in which, hopefully, the point of the podcast today is to give encouragement to dads to be that blessing and a sense that they're aware of even the own, even the power they have.
Yeah.
And sometimes we're just unaware of how God wants to work in us, and we can either undervalue it or minimize it or just something not occur to us how God wants to bless. So to take a little bit of a dive back into Genesis, in the very beginning of the Bible, there are, of course, the patriarchs, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And there's a kind of a troubling and yet evocative story at the end of Isaac's life. And we don't really know much about Isaac, except that he comes between Abraham and Jacob. He's a grandson. So his story is getting Isaac married is a big deal. Yeah. But you don't hear much about his life, except at the end of his life, he has two sons, Jacob and Esau. This is mm-hmm. Isaac. And there's a point at which Isaac comes to the end of his life. He's nearly blind. Mm-hmm. And he says, okay, now it's time to give my blessing, a particular paternal blessing that is given normally to the firstborn son. Right. Now, we know earlier in the story that Isaac had, in a sense, been set up for this by the fact that Esau had sold Jacob his birthright.
Right.
Right. And so for that pot of stool, when he was out hunting, and you have Esau, like the hairy man who's like hunter, gatherer, you know, manly man. And then you have Jacob, who's a little more reserved, a little more kind of he's got a little guile in him.
Yeah.
He's wary and intelligent. And let's face it, he's a little bit of a manipulator, as we'll see in this story. Yeah. Actually close to his mother's heart in the way. So he's kind of mama's boy.
He's very much like his mother.
So Isaac says, come get me, bring Esau, I'm going to do the blessing. And so then, of course, mom Rachel swaps the kids. So he comes in, Isaac comes in, Jacob comes in to Isaac.
Yeah, dressed like Esau.
Yeah, so he smells like him. He's got these kind of the fake hairy arms and things like that.
But the point weird here, paw things. Yeah. But anyway.
In the story, though, it's interesting that then Isaac blesses Jacob, and he blesses him with that kind of paternal blessing of life, that sense of flourishing, many generations, abundance of the land, and that he would have a kind of sense of governance over his brother and all peoples or all lands to which the Lord would give him. And so that happens. He gets that blessing.
Yeah.
And then what happens? Well, obviously,
then Esau comes in.
Esau comes in. He's like, hey, where's my blessing? And he's like, figures out that there's been a swap. And it's interesting because at that point, at least as a reader, you would expect Isaac to be able to say, oh, okay, well,
I take that back from this one and then give it to the other.
Exactly. I'm going to take that one back. I'll give it to him. That wasn't my intention. It's all about what we intend anyway. You can't bless
it. But it doesn't work that way.
No. He says, well, I'll do the best. You won't have the best land. The prayer is a little bit disheartening. He says, far from fertile earth shall be your dwelling. By the sword you shall live, whereas there's kind of peace and dew of heavens, and you shall serve your brother. So far, it's not much of a blessing. But then he does add, when you become restless, you will throw off the yoke from your neck. So he does. He in the end, he says, you won't serve forever. You'll find your own way. But the point is that the power of the father's blessing is somewhat even outside of the control of Isaac himself.
Yeah.
In other words, that the father is clearly, and this is why I'm kind of thinking of my own priesthood, clearly a necessary blessing from the father, but not, the father isn't the source of the blessing.
Yeah.
He's simply the conduit, from God to his family, in this case, to Jacob, in a way that when it happens, even though it's a manipulation, God is somehow going to use that blessing in a way. And it comes full circle because the very last chapter of Genesis, nearly, you have then Jacob, who's been through all kinds of travails and woes, and he's had to flee for his life. This causes Esau to want to kill him, so he flees for his life. He ends up having, 12 sons, all who have their own issues, and he makes that dream coat for Joseph and so forth. And at the end of his life, when they're all in Egypt, and they're at this point still in good graces with the Pharaoh and living and flourishing down in Egypt, Joseph brings in his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, right, for Jacob to bless.
Yes.
And at this point, Jacob is known as Israel. This is where we get the term Israelites. And so he's in some ways the reason. So you get Abraham, Isaac, who's just a bit character, and then Israel, right?
Yeah,
you get Jacob.
Exactly, yeah.
He's received the father's blessing. So now he's going to pass on that blessing, and he does in various ways. But when he comes to bless Joseph's sons, you have Ephraim and Manasseh, Manasseh being the older boy, and Jacob, his sight is failing, so it's kind of like he's getting
his comeuppance. Yeah.
Exactly, he's getting a bit of his comeuppance. So he's in the same scenario, and here he switches the blessing. He takes his right hand, he puts it over Ephraim, he puts his left hand, puts it over Manasseh, and he kind of does like the goofy-handed blessing, and Joseph's like, oh, no, you're doing it wrong. Here's Manasseh, here's Ephraim, and he takes it, no, this is the way he felt led to do it, and he says, no, this is the way the Lord wants to do it. Once again, so he blesses each one in turn. You have that sense certainly when Christ comes. You've got the different tribes that are involved, and there's that blessing that resonates in terms of fulfillment of the blessing. But the point, overarching point, is that God uses once again Jacob and Israel to bless the family, bless his sons. But it's a blessing which has the power of God, which goes beyond the particular individual.
Yeah.
And so it's a theme that runs through Scripture, the power of the Father's blessing to be able to bless his family in ways that are unexpected, even for the dad, right?
Yeah.
He blesses, and his words have a power which have a source greater than himself. And I guess that's the point that perhaps on Father's Day is good for folks to hear, is that there's a real role or an office that God has built into kind of humanity, right?
Right.
The biological kind of flourishing of human life in terms of not just man and woman, but and not just husband and wife, but father and mother, and a way in which a father is called to bless his children and can be a blessing to his children. And it goes beyond that. So in terms of practicality, it's interesting in pastoral situations, with dads and things, whether that's sacramental or just kind of advice or just kind of out. And they'll often say, oh gosh, Father, I wish you'd just bless my son or daughter. He's really rambunctious and out of line, and you need to talk to him and things like that. Or just even my relationship with my wife, I wish we really could use a blessing and so forth. And certainly as a priest, happy to do that. I mean, there's a spiritual paternity that we have in terms of being a blessing for others. But I always use the occasion to try to encourage dads to not undervalue the power they have to bless their children. And it comes right from Scripture, in that sense that every dad, insofar as he's a dad, has a God-given power to bless his children in a way which goes beyond, and I'll say this, even beyond a priest's blessing, at least a unique way. There's a way in which, as you don't choose your children, and children don't choose their fathers,
right?
There's a higher working involved, we believe, in terms of the origin of that human soul in that moment. And so every child before he was their father's child was their heavenly
father's child,
right? Mm-hmm. You know, and there's a way in which then, when you're blessing your children, you have direct access to God the Father's blessing that not even a priest will have, because there's not that same biological connection. There's not that same God-givenness to the situation. And so I say, look, it's almost as if you give different analogy, but it's almost like, you know, God has this, there's this internet connection, right? And you only have, as dad, have the password to unlock that connection and to pour forth that blessing, that stream of God's blessing and grace to your children. And so use it. Bless your children, especially in the evening, you know, before their bed, especially when they're young, to give them a blessing in the different aspects of daily life, to pray for your children. Your prayers for your children as dad are more powerful, once again, or uniquely powerful, should I say, than even a priest's blessing. Yeah. If you think, I mean, I'll sometimes say, you know, Pope Francis could fly out, land on your street, get out, knock on your door and say, oh, I want to give, you know, your family a blessing. And that blessing, as wonderful as it would be, as newsworthy as it would be, it'd make the front page of the paper, no doubt, with the story, it would not access the same richness,
yeah,
and profundity,
the same kind of graces,
mm-hmm,
yeah,
mm-hmm, as you can have access to when you are both pray for, especially for spouse or particularly for children in this case on Father's Day. So on a day when we honor our fathers, we give thanks to our dads. Also want to encourage them not only to continue to be the blessing, and no doubt being dad is difficult. We need to pray for our dads.
Amen.
100%, and pray for good fathers. There's nothing more connective for culture, nothing which causes culture to thrive as a good father, someone who takes that responsibility to heart, someone who provides for materially, physically, psychologically, emotionally, and spiritually for his family as provider. It's not easy. We need to pray for them. Our culture doesn't always support or lift up fathers as it doesn't always give due credit, right? Or due recognition. So we certainly want to do that. But then to encourage dads, you're more powerful than you think.
Yeah. It's an untapped resource that we don't really talk about.
Yeah. You're more powerful than you think. So engage with that. I think oftentimes in my experience, this is just a generalization, but it can be true that mothers tend to have more of a kind of the spiritual connection in the family, mm-hmm, in terms of a kind of what our religious practice is going to be and the fervor to which we do that. And just guys, I think generally just kind of take a half step back from that and kind of are a little more passive. And as you mentioned that in your family, that's not always true, but can be true.
Yeah.
And so this is, in a sense, coming from someone who myself has had to grow in that sense of being a spiritual father. It wasn't easy when people started saying, oh, you know, calling me Father or Father Michael. And you're like, gosh, you know, especially folks who are older than myself,
so
right? It's like, how am I a father? And there's almost a hesitancy, perhaps, to claim that in every way. But there's a power that's present when a father blesses those to whom God has given to him as his children through that fatherhood or through that office of fatherhood in every way.
Yeah. So it's just, it's just that untapped resource of having men who are fathers to understand the vocation they've been given in that deeper way.
Yeah.
And we pray for all fathers, all those men that are feeling that they have the vocation to fatherhood.
Yeah.
And we pray for, the strengthening of this vocation in our church.
Absolutely. It is normally we think of vocation simply in terms of those who are going to be spiritual fathers, for priests or religious. It's a real vocation.
Yeah.
This is what I tell when I do marriage counseling or, preparation for marriage. Yeah. It's like, okay, you've fallen in love. You think we're right for each other. There's this connection, this vibe where we want to be together forever. We want to start a family. And I'm like, that's a vocation. That's an actual calling, not just in terms of you connecting the spouses, but in terms of God has called you in a sense, and to see it that way and to know that the rest of your life will be, in a sense, a response to God's call for you to come together. But then God wants to give you the resource you need and to exercise that. So dads, pray for your kids and to know that you have a tremendous power and don't shrink away from that. And I know I had to learn that too, to step up and say, if God wants to bless this person or heal this person or forgive this person or whatever it is to whoever comes, it's not me doing it. It's God doing it through me. The same with our dads. Our dads are sometimes even more powerful than we think, and to give encouragement to all of our dads as we pray for them this day.
Amen. So thank you for joining us for this podcast and videocast. You know what to do if you want to support us. Like us on Facebook, share us on social media, all those great things.
So once again, happy Father's Day to all who are fathers, who have that role of the father. May all that we do truly radiate the joy of the gospel here in the heart of the city. Amen.
Amen.